Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I'm diving into the wide receiver tiers. Again, I've already covered quarterbacks in depth. We've covered running backs with the two-parter with Chad, AFC-NFC edition. That would have been last week or so, so go ahead and check that out. And then we'll get on the wide receivers. I'll do running back tiers. I'll sort of update them at the end where you get some running back coverage. I'll go wide receivers, tight ends, and then probably at some point in the next, you know, I would guess it's probably around the Super Bowl. We'll get back to running back, something like that. And then, you know, and then we're off and running for the offseason. So excited for it. But doing wide receivers here, big tier here of guys. Multiple hit guys 29 years or older. Okay. So this is a wide receiver. So these are your multiple hit. They have multiple top 24 seasonal finishes. And they are 29 years of age or older for the they will be 29 years of age or older in 2022. So when we look at these, it's a pretty big group. So I think down at the bottom, like if we could just sort of we'll just look at the bottom really, and I think that's helpful in terms of like, you know, how we should maybe think about these guys. I just sorted them by their finish this year. Obviously you got Michael Thomas. I think he's going to be a unique case, right? He's basically either been a top 12 guy or he hasn't, right? Or he hasn't basically been a top producer at all. So it's really interesting there. Like his hits really high, his other production not so much. I think for him it's going to be interesting because you're going to be, you know, there's some thought that you might not even get Sean Payton back, right? That was interesting news out this week that said you might not even get Sean Payton back because he is, hasn't committed to returning yet. They don't have a clear answer at quarterback. And, you know, it's not entirely, I don't think it's set in stone if Michael Thomas is going to be back either. So that's one that, in I think there's a wide range of outcomes on what he could be, right? He could be the lead wide receiver in a Russell Wilson-led offense by Sean Payton. That wouldn't be impossible. Derek Carr, like you just sort of look down, like there's a number of guys that you could do that with. It's also just as possible that, you know, Taysom Hill is his quarterback and the coach isn't Sean Payton, it's somebody else, right? Or it's just as possible that he's traded, right? I wouldn't necessarily rule out any of those ranges of outcomes. So those are, you know, for him, listen, I still think he probably has difference-making upside in his range of outcomes. You know, a question, of course, is what you're going to pay. And I think the big thing in this range is to try and arbitrage these guys. This is a really an arbable range. And the reason for that is because it becomes where there's a big spread in cost, unless you're absolutely outrageously better than everybody else. And that would be, that's Devontae Adams, right? In this range, that's just totally Devontae Adams. Unless you're Devontae Adams, and you're just leaps and bounds above everyone else, it's really hard to experience a little bit of to experience aging without going down in price. And so that's what you see with this group, that we saw with it last year. And you basically are going to, I think you're going to see it again. A lot of these guys are going to come down in cost. We'll get to them hereafter, but we can clear out some of the ones at the bottom. Dez Bryant, he's just on the list because I like putting X by his name. Hilton is a, you know, he was entirely a role player this year. I have positive feelings from before when he was good, but wide receiver 99 finish, 32 years old, right? I think at best he's a top, you know, at best he's a top 100 asset at this point in terms of wide receivers. I don't think he's probably that. Julio's also falling. You know, he will be 32 years old. Obviously a legendary Hall of Fame worthy career. But he was 33 in the, 33, 34 range in terms of RDP last year, 93 finish. I think there's a lot of you know, what will he be next year? Sort of what does that look like? Is he a, you know, is he someone that is potentially, you know, back with Tennessee? When you look at it, $13.2 million next year in terms of dead money for Julio. Well, they only save $1.1 million by cutting him. So, you know, I have a hard time seeing him be substantially down the board from where he is in terms of, you know, him going someplace or him being superseded for that matter and by somebody else. It's just really tough to see that happening. So he's ultimately probably the wide receiver two in a low end offense. And, you know, does that have some merit? Sure. Does that have its, you know, when it's Julio, it has some merit. When it's not Julio, we'd probably think lesser of it. You know, he had 53 targets. PFF graded him for 53 targets in 11 games. So that's really not great. There was some in and out because of injury there. So was it really truly 11 games, or was it maybe something like 10? Does it really matter when you're talking about the difference between, you know, 4.5 to 5.3 targets? I'm not sure. When you look at it on a per route basis, he's actually still decent at 1.84. So that would be the thing that I would say with Julio is like, all right, you know, he does have a decent amount of ground to fall from and still be relevant. You know, you look at his career numbers, it's 2.66 yards per route run. This is the first year he's been under, this is incredible. First year he's been under two since ever. And his lowest other one was 2.05 in his rookie season. Before that, since then, really since the second season, he hadn't really been below 2.44 yards per route run. But this is like going straight down in terms of effectiveness. Like if we're looking at it, you know, in 2016, it was 3.2, then it was 3.04, 2.9, 2.4, 4, 2.6 last year, and then 1.84. So it is really falling off for him in a way that, you know, it is, and it's falling in PFF grade as well. Like, a lot of the stuff is really going downhill, and it shouldn't surprise based on where he's finished. I think at this point, he's probably more in the range of, like, you want him, you know, if he's going to be a wide receiver four type on your roster, right? I think that's maybe where you feel a little bit more comfortable with him. I'd say like five or six, but again, you're probably not rostering a ton out to there. But again, I think as he ages, and I think a lot of these tips will hold true for these guys, is, you know, when they age, I think you have to basically try to bump them down a level, right? So you have to sort of figure out a way to, you know, you don't necessarily have to sell him at a loss, but you say, okay, like I can't afford to have Julio be my wide receiver two and be competitive. I'm going to make him my wide receiver three, right? I need to bring in someone ahead of him to compete. I think that's really the way to think about him. But you know, I think if you can get a second for him, I see the wisdom in doing that. I probably wouldn't pay a second right now. I just think there's probably other ways to do that. And you can do that later on in the season when you know you have a need. Antonio Brown, I mean, I'm not really sure what more to say about him. There's just a ton of career arc question marks with him at this point. I'd struggle to see how he's going to be well thought of in another deal. He'll be 33 years old. I'm older than Julio, older than T.Y. Hilton. Heck, he's Dez Bryant's age. So when you think about that, it's pretty wild. With a ton of baggage. And, I mean, I'm not sure a lot of people are going to put up with that. I mean, is he good? Can he make a difference? Sure. But he's an old headache at this point, if we're being totally honest. And I'm not sure that he's going to get another chance. So we'll see. I mean, it's way back a roster. I'm not looking to acquire shares or anything like that. Odell Beckham Jr. is interesting. He's at 30, a wide receiver 55 finisher on the season. And, you know, I look at this and I wonder, you know, is he's at 55, Manuel Sanders at 54. Yeah, I think they're similarly situated role players to some degree, is when you look at this. You know, is that, you know, is Odell Beckham Jr. more than that? You know, I guess he could be. I guess would be the, you know, if we're being generous to him, we say, you know, he was in a bad situation. He sort of comes out of it. And look, he's ultimately, like, he's performed pretty well. Like, yeah, that's in L.A. you could sort of pitch that idea. The problem is when you look at it, like, I mean, he had 85 targets on the season in 15 games. That's just really not going to do it for a fantasy perspective. Had 6 touchdowns on the season as well. So, I mean, again, in his games with LA, it's 49 targets since week 10, you know, that actually includes the 4 from the playoffs as well. So when you just look at it, I mean, that's 8 games. So 45 targets in 8 games, it's like 6 a game. It's just not enough. So that would be the overall caution and concern that I do have. When you look at some of the efficiency stuff for him, like, it's the worst yards per route run of his career. You know, some of that Cleveland, sure, but he really wasn't better in LA. And so I think the popular media is going to give him more credit because he had 6 touchdowns and 9 games so far in LA. And I think that the mainstream, you know, the bigger box media will talk about that. I think it's a clear opportunity to sell. So that would sort of be my thought. His 2 best games of the season before the playoffs were both, you know, PFF grade-wise, were at in Cleveland. So when you think about that, that's I'm skeptical here of him really returning to elite levels. So that would sort of be my play there on him. Emmanuel Sanders, I think he's a spot start guy. You know, similar to this, it wouldn't shock me if he's back in Buffalo, for example, kind of in a similar type of role. This is kind of who he is in his career. You know, outside the top 100 would be my guess in ADP. Robert Woods, he's going to be a big-time follower. He was like 26 in RDP last year, obviously coming off the injury. Him and Jarvis Landry will be interesting. Jarvis Landry was 56 in terms of RDB, so he outperforms that by a handful of spots. I thought it would be better. It just really wasn't. I think the takeaway there. I think you could blame a decent portion of it on Baker. I think that is fair. But you are getting Landry, who's 29 at this point in his career. He's down to 1.78 yards per route run. You know, that's down from prior points in his career as well. So, you know, there's some situational downgrade for him. Sure. Is he getting older and aging out? Sure, as well. When you look at it, it's just below his yards per route run in his career. It's his worst PFF grade of his career. So, I mean, those things are pointing in negative directions. Only 79 targets on the season. So, again, that's not great either. So, I think he's more of a role player at this point, probably more a wide receiver 4 or 5 on your roster. I think he's fine in a roster there, but you don't really – like, you want – you know, I think you probably want him more, like, towards your lineup than you want him really being a depth option, because he doesn't really offer you much in terms of volume, in terms of value, but he might actually outperform his value in volume. All right, next up here in this tier, we do have, you know, so Robert Woods, again, similar there, can finish that. DeAndre Hopkins is probably the cautionary tale. Like, and if you were to look at this and you would say, all right, like, who's the cautionary tale this year? It's probably Adams to an extent, but I think really what you see is you get guys 28, 29, they really start to fall off. And you saw, you know, 10 spot drops from some of these guys, right? From, you know, from Keenan Allen, from some other guys in this range. And you say, okay, that's a trend we should probably watch out for. So Hopkins was a key one in that, in terms of, hey, if they're not going to produce, they're going to fall through the floor. And do we want to, you know, is he a first better than, you know, Keenan Allen or Lockett, right? Or those sorts of jumps down. Like, you could totally do those last year. And I think that, you know, as we sort of look at some of these guys, I think we're thinking about them, you know, and trying to identify those. I think Adams is probably the big one to think about, especially free agency, right? And I think as we're sitting here right now, maybe that thought hasn't really set in quite yet on a guy like Adams, because, you know, I think there's some thought that maybe Rodgers is back and those sorts of things. Yeah, but now could be the time where you just say, all right, like, let's just, we can quietly exit and make that move. I don't think that's a horrible idea to try with a guy like Adams at this point. So that's really the I think one of the big ones there, Adams, to think about, you know, in arbitrage opportunities throughout all of these is really a place where I'm thinking. Some other ones here in terms of working up the list. So again, Hopkins at 45, AJ Green at 41, Marvin Jones at 34. I think those guys are much different. I think Jones and Green are more, you know, wide receiver 4 or 5 type producers is still fine. You're not really valuing them. You know, they're going to be outside the top 80 in terms of startup ADP, and that's fine. You just say, great, like, if I sort of need a wide receiver 4, if I need some production, like, those are the types of bets you make. I think those are easy ones. I'm not sure what type of guys will be in play for this next year. That would be a question that I would have, like, who's a guy. I mean, maybe it's Allen Robinson, who's actually down for this list. I missed him on the way up. He's at 84. You know, maybe he's a guy. I mean, he was at 13, 14 in terms of RDP stop season. Maybe he's a guy that falls into the 40s, and you could say, all right, like, I'll take an AJ Green like shot on him. I think that's a similar comp. He's a couple years younger than where AJ Green was, but I think that's a similar type of bet that you could potentially make. That's not terribly high cost either, right? That doesn't hurt you if you're wrong on it. So that would be a situation I would potentially look at for guy like Allen, for Allen Robinson. You're sort of playing that AJ Green, Marvin Jones kind of bounce back next team type of play there. Kenny Galladay is another one I missed on the way up here. 79 in terms of his finish this year. I think he's pretty tepid. So he was at 33.5 in RDP. He should, I'm guessing he will plummet. You know, we'll see what the next staff looks like with all that. I'm sure we'll get information on that this week and have a better idea on how that will play out. Some other ones here, Adam Thielen's up higher. Again, I would expect him to continue to fall. He outproduces ADP, so we'll go back to that list of guys who outproduce their rookie or their draft costs. Adam Thielen's probably going to be one of those guys for a while, assuming that he's healthy. He'd be 32 years old this upcoming year. Again, I expect probably in the late 40s and the 50s in the RDP, and probably going to be a target guy in like that wide receiver 4, a playable wide receiver 3 type guy. Lockett, Allen, Evans, and Adams are the remaining guys. They are in the top 16 of the position for the hits from this range. So again, Lockett just continuing to churn it out. Be really interested to see what he does. You also have actually Cooper Kupp in this range as well, for a guy that was Cooper Kupp. And Robbie Anderson and Brandon Cooks also in this range for guys 29 years of age or older who have multiple hits. It's interesting that this is where Kupp actually gets on the board from a guy who hadn't been in this multi-hit tier before this year. He obviously comes in with he hits a triple crown finish there at the position. Receptions, yards, and touchdowns. So I think those, you know, so you have Kupp, you've got Cooks as well. So the guys that hit from this range, I think I have them all. Kupp, Adams, Evans, Allen, Lockett, and Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver 20. So I think, Kupp's value is going to be interesting. I think that'll be one of the big ones to watch. We don't have a great comp for this late career breakout happening. He is up at wide receiver 6 at keep trade cut. That's behind CeeDee Lamb. That's ahead of Jalen Waddle. That's the group in which he's in. He's ahead of Adams. He's ahead of Tyreek Hill. He's ahead of Metcalf. So those are all, I think, interesting. I think he's appropriate there would be what I would say. Maybe I think Adams has a little bit more uncertainty. I think Hill probably belongs up, but I'd probably take Hill over Kupp. It would be pretty close. I think that's an interesting one. So those are really that's an interesting range there at the position. I think Kupp's probably appropriate up there. It's interesting to see AJ Brown over Kupp, I don't necessarily know if I buy that, although they're in a big tier where it's pretty close. So I'm not sure I necessarily buy that idea. But I think I could go either way on that because I think Kupp has higher upside I think Kupp definitely has higher upside in terms of like the next couple of years scoring wise, and AJ Brown's probably got more longevity. What matters more? I think what AJ Brown does is a lot more replaceable than the ceiling that a guy like Cooper Kupp would have. So, you know, so the big things in this range again are going to be arbitraging. You know, can you arbitrage from Adams to Evans? Is that a multiple round difference? That would be a situation. You know, Adams to Allen would be another interesting one to think about. If you really wanted to get crazy, go Adams to Cooks, right? That would be an interesting one as well. So a lot of opportunities in here. I will continue to sort of think about them and apply them. I do think you have to sort of make a stand right now on what you think about Adams. And if you're willing to sort of ride this out and say, okay, I think that this could get this could get to be a situation where I just I'm gonna ride him till it's over, or I could sell it like a top 12 cost, pivot down the position, gain some additional assets. You know, I would say if you don't think the ceiling's gonna be there, I would take the later option. I acquired him in a spot that I wrote about in AOD, it's fine, right? I'm fine. Like, I think he'll be probably a contending option for me. I'm not going to bail either. If I could sort of reset the clock, go down a little bit at the position, get some additional assets to sort of replenish the back end of my roster while making a generally the same bet. Like, if it's Keenan Allen, I think it makes a lot of sense, for example. Like, I'll try to make that type of bet. And look at those. Another couple thoughts I think you have to have in this range with guys like Evans, with guys like Adams as well. Lockett maybe to some degree. I don't know if it matters for Cooks that much, but the changing quarterback position. There's very possible that those things that we've seen the last game Brady plays, we've seen the last game that Rodgers plays in Green Bay, heck, that maybe they don't even tag Adams. Like, there's a potential that if Rodgers walks out the door, they let Adams follow him out the door. And then you just, I'm not sure that if in that situation, do you want to franchise tag someone, or do you just want to try and reset the clock? You know, it'll be interesting. I think it's an interesting team building exercise there for them that they'll be engaged in. But again, I'm not bailing on guys like Kupp, Adams, Evans, Allen, Lockett, Cooks. I think those guys are all interesting, especially as they fall. As there's a difference in price, we're really pouncing on the guys later on them. So Cooks, Lockett, Allen, in particular, will be probably core target guys, I would imagine, here. Heading into the off season. So that'll pretty much do it for this edition. This is your multiple hits for 29 years of age or older. It's crazy. Some of these guys are now 29. Looking at you, Cooper Kupp. We knew you at the Senior Bowl when you seemed like this like 20-year-old kid, and it wasn't that long ago. And now all of a sudden you're almost 30. So all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.